God's grace to you and his peace as we celebrate this resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In his name, amen. There's a phrase that us as human beings like to hear, or maybe we don't like to hear it. Nothing lasts forever. And in that phrase is a little bit of truth that sort of rings in our ears. I noticed that the odometer on my car has reached over the 100,000 mile mark. I keep thinking to myself, it's just getting broken in. But then there's that nagging feeling, thinking it might be breaking apart. Whether it's a car or whether it's appliances, job or relationships, even marriages will end in either death or divorce. It seems like in our human lives that nothing lasts forever. And that phrase, nothing lasts forever, may present us a little bit of a problem with today's Old Testament reading. In the reading, you see, God describes his love as an everlasting love. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to sell you an extended warranty with this because you don't need it. Words which you never hear in today's world. But his love will last forever. And so it almost begs the question, is it ever possible for God's love not to come to me or to you? Is it ever possible for me to somehow stop God's love or break God's love or cause God's love not to happen? The answer is no. No matter how many sins you commit, no matter whether you've been naughty or nice, it doesn't even matter how many times you've been in church or how many times you've missed church, depending on what is easier for you to count. God's love for you is eternal and is for you. You see, we have to go back to the source of that love. The source of that love is sort of the day that we're celebrating today. It actually started on Good Friday, in which our Lord and Savior dies on the cross. And on that Easter day, when the women go to the tomb, they find out that the tomb is empty. Death, which has been a constant in our lives, is now eliminated. Jesus Christ overcomes death. So the source of love comes through our Lord and Savior's sacrificial death upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So can you stop that from happening? Can you go back in the time and stop the Jews from handing Jesus over to Pilate? Can you go back in time and stop Pilate from making a wrong decision, so to speak? Can you go back in time and stop the soldiers from nailing Jesus to the cross? If you could go back in time, I wish you wouldn't. Because through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. We have God's eternal love, and no one can take that away. Instead of the death that you deserve, that we deserve, because of our many sins, because of our imperfections, our many mistakes, Jesus dies so that we would not have to die. And that is how God can say to you, he has an eternal, everlasting love, because he sent Jesus to pay the price of our death so that we could be with God forever and ever. This is the joy of the resurrection of our Lord, that as humanity sees the empty tomb, we know that God the Father's wrath for our sins have been appeased. The risen Lord and Savior who lives, even though he died, nothing lasts forever except Jesus and his love for you. Now some may ask, Pastor, if Christ's love for me is eternal, why are there some days when I may not feel that love? First of all, let me answer by saying, please keep in mind that feelings are a perception. The reality of the empty tomb and Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross cannot be undone. But let me answer the question using this illustration. Is the sun still shining when it's nighttime? Yes. We may feel the bitter cold at night only because of the rotation of the earth. If the sun did not exist, there would not be life on the earth. If we think it's cold at the end of March, and if we think that we're surprised to see a white Easter instead of a white Christmas, it would be much colder without the sun. How cold would it be? Without the sun, the temperature would be -459.67 degrees in the Fahrenheit scale. I guess we better not complain about the white Easter. Even though we've just experienced an extended long winter, it seems, with cold, bitter nights, the sun is still shining. Even though we have an anticipation for a much warmer spring, the sun is still shining. The sun is still out there, even if we hide ourselves in cars and homes or at the office. The sun shines for all people, even if they're terrorists or drug dealers, Christians or atheists. The sun doesn't just shine on one group of people and not another. And when the clouds of depression creep into our lives and we feel the chillness of our misdeeds, the sun is still shining. You see, God knows that we are going to have hardships in this life, but he still loves us and he still strengthens us, even in the dark moments of our lives. He gives love and forgiveness to all people, just like all people receive the wonderful warmth of the sun. He loves, forgives all people through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for those who believe and trust in the empty tomb and understand the death and the resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, we come and we celebrate this day, rejoicing that God's love is eternal. Now let me make an exception to my illustration, because unlike the sun, scientists say the sun will consume itself in about 5 billion years, God's love for you will not end. Personally, I'm trusting that Christ will come again for that last day before the next 5 billion years are up, so I don't have to worry about the sun being in some sort of midlife crisis. Which almost begs another question. Why do we need to come and gather? If God's love is eternal, and we have God's love, we have that forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, why is it important to come and to gather? Why is it important to hear God's word, to receive the sacraments? Is it enough to know that we are loved by God? Let me illustrate this with a punchline from sort of a bad joke. It goes like this. If Jesus rises from the tomb and sees his shadow, we'll have another 6 weeks of winter. Now, I will admit, after the winter we just had, that is a little bit of a bad joke. But it does put us on the right path to remind us why we need to come and gather. Because in our lives, how many times have we experienced the coldness and darkness of our world around us? And where we want the joy of a warm, sunny day. Bottom line to this is that surrounding ourselves with God's love, where his word is proclaimed and his sacraments are administered, encourages us during the dark moments of our lives. Because too often in our lives, we get distracted by the things of this world. To prove this point, just think for a moment. How many times have you ever stopped and said, okay, thank you, God, for shining this sun on this earth? The sun rises and sets every day, and we almost take that sun for granted. Not that I'm trying to promote sun worship, S-U-N worship, but I'm trying to promote sun, S-O-N worship. We take for granted God's everlasting love, and we don't appreciate his love like we should. Not that this is going to cause God to withhold his love from us, like he can undo the cross and undo the empty tomb, but as we appreciate what God has done for us, we put our trust in God, believe in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and his saving promises. And as the warmth of God's love and forgiveness comes upon you, God does something else. He melts our cold, unforgiving hearts. So we need to gather where Christ himself promises to be, where his word is proclaimed and his sacraments administered. We need to come to the place where God offers baptism in his name to make us children of God. We need to come to the place where God gives of himself through the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We need to come where God himself is present, where his word is proclaimed. We need to come and say thank you. Come and build each other up with this encouraging word of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we also need to come so that we may teach God's love and his forgiveness, especially to the next generation. Because who will be around to proclaim God's love, his everlasting love for the next generation? Yes, God's love is eternal. Amen to that. But your physical life in this world is not eternal. Now, don't get me wrong. You will live eternity with God in heaven above, but you won't live that eternity in the here and now. You will have that spiritual glorified body then. But who will teach the next generation and the generation that's to come next? Who will be there so that they will also hear the precious words of God's everlasting love, so that they will understand what it means for Jesus to die on the cross and to rise from the dead? If we don't think that it's important now, our children will learn from us, and it will not be important for them in the future. That's why we come. We come to testify to the truth of God's everlasting love. Whenever God's word is faithfully proclaimed, wherever God's sacraments are administered, God is present. His never-ending love is there. The end of our Old Testament reading for today notes, "Arise, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God." You are here, receiving the grace, mercy, forgiveness, the everlasting love on this blessed Easter morning, as we come and celebrate and rejoice with all of Christendom that, yes, we have a Savior who dies and forgives us our sins, a Savior who gives us his everlasting love. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.